Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Not for a Moment by Cheyenne Blue, narrated by Kat Gould. Chapter 1. Uninvited Guests.
"This is the most relaxed I've been all week," Sarah sighed in pleasure and leaned forward to clink her beer bottle with her best friend Kristen's. Their friend Andy raised hers in salute from across the deck where she lounged in a canvas chair. "How much of a sad sack am I that a couple of beers on my deck followed by pizza is the highlight of my week?" Sarah chugged another mouthful. Kristen laughed. "You can stop the poor me act. If I suggested we swap lives, even for a week, you'd fall over your feet rushing to escape." Sarah waggled her eyebrows. "Try me." Kristen leaned forward in her chair. "Sarah Santoro, you have won the Escape My Life competition. Your prize, should you choose to accept it, is a week living the high life of Kristen Astuti. Yes, Sarah, you will live in Kristen's two-bedroom apartment in the lush suburb of Box Hill with a panoramic view over the four-lane Maroondah Highway, sharing with her weird housemate and his terrible taste in music. You'll commute into Melbourne every day to slave at whatever temp job is on offer. Then you'll return home every night to Takeaway and The Bachelor on TV while you dream of your own prince. Sorry, princess. Although, if you're taking my life for a week, does that mean you get a prince? No way. At least, not unless it's Jake Gyllenhaal." Andy barked a short laugh. "And what do you get in this life swap, Kristen?" Kristen stood and posed, one hand on her hip, the other holding the beer bottle high. "The comfortable life of Sarah Santoro. I'll be woken every morning by the world's cutest 7-year-old jumping on my bed demanding orange juice. I'll prepare breakfast for Noah and myself, which I'll eat on this very deck, listening to the birds, smelling the coffee, and watching the veggies grow. And when Noah goes off to school, I'll drive 2 minutes to my steady job as admin assistant for one of Ringwood's largest construction firms." Kristen's mouth turned down. "Okay, while I admit the whole 2-minute commute thing is appealing, you have possibly the most unappreciative, misogynistic asshole of a boss in Australia. But I'll say it again, you have a 2-minute commute. You don't cram onto an overcrowded city train and spend 30 minutes jammed under someone's stinky armpit. And that closeness is why I put up with it, so I'm nearby for Noah." Sarah sipped her beer. "Although you're right, I wouldn't swap lives even for a minute, even though this is my only evening to myself. I still miss Noah." "Where is she tonight?" Andy asked. "A birthday sleepover with a school friend," Sarah grimaced. "I wouldn't be that mother. She has to corral half a dozen kids, feed them something everyone will eat, soothe tears and tantrums, limit their intake of lollies, keep them from bouncing off the walls, and get them into bed before midnight." "You'll be that mother soon enough," Kristen winked. "Next month, when it's Noah's birthday." "She's already told me she wants to go horse riding." "Good luck with that." Andy stretched out her long legs. "I used to ride as a kid. It's the most addictive thing. If you let her start, she'll never stop."
"Maybe Sarah will invite you along."
Kristen opened her eyes wide in an innocent look and sat once more. "Right, and maybe you're the next Prime Minister of Australia." Andy tipped her beer to Kristen with a grin. "Me and kids aren't a perfect match. Oh, Noah's a great kid, but a whole bunch of them?" She shuddered. Kristen leaned forward. "So which of us would you take in this life swap, Andy?" Andy chugged a mouthful of beer. "Try me." Kristen threw out an arm.
"Andy Barons, your life is up for grabs. Whoever you choose gets to live in your carefree, independent lifestyle. Your life swap will live in your cute and quirky, basic," said Andy, "studio right next to your workshop and yard. As you live alone, your life swap will have total freedom to walk naked around the studio, eat out every night rather than fight for kitchen time with a housemate or cook fish fingers for a 7-year-old. Your life swap can bring home a different person every night if she wants."
"You know I don't do that," Andy grinned. "I don't have the energy working for myself."
"And jet off to Bali on a whim. Total freedom is the package on offer here." The bank might not agree, Andy said. So, who are you going to pick? Sarah sat forward, agog with mock anticipation, although it didn't take a telepath to know the answer. Andy's glance slid from Sarah to Kristen and back again. How can I possibly choose? Oh, please, Kristen scoffed. Like we don't already know. You'd take my life over Sarah's comfortable one in a millisecond. We all know you're not a kid person. Your housemate plays hip-hop when he gets home from night shift. That's good reason to swap with Sarah. Tariq's got headphones now. Sometimes he even uses them. Well, in that case... Andy tapped a finger on her lower lip. I'd choose Kristen's life. The hip-hop was the deal-breaker, but if Tariq glues his headphones on, then no problem. Of course. Sarah squashed the sinking feeling in her stomach. Andy had never hidden her choice to remain child-free. To her, a child, even one as adorable and well-behaved as Noah, would be the ultimate nope. And that choice worked in reverse, too. A year ago, when Kristen first introduced them, Sarah had wondered if they had possibilities beyond the friend zone. After all, Andy was warm and considerate of others, relaxed company, and striking with that undercut and floppy overcomb, highlighting her dark eyes and somber, angular face. But her discomfort around Noah had scuppered that faint idea before it got off the ground. But even so, hearing Andy choose Kristen's life over hers rammed home that she wasn't on Andy's radar. Not like that, anyway. Sarah stretched her mouth into a polite smile. She totally got that not everyone liked being around kids. Andy was kind to Noah, but in a stilted way, as if Noah was an alien who spoke another language and Andy's universal translator was on the blink. Andy's eyes glazed over whenever Sarah mentioned school lunches, the difficulties of clothes shopping for a fussy kid, or the nighttime perils of treading barefoot on Lego. No, she and Andy were poles apart in their lives, and Sarah was happy with the easy friendship they now shared. She stretched her legs out to the low table between the chairs, enjoying how the autumn sun warmed her thighs. Not bad thighs, really. Too white from lack of sun and dimpled with cellulite, but she loved their curve and how she looked in shorts. She wiggled her bare toes for a moment, reveling in the last of the sunlight. She swung her feet to the deck. Another beer? And shall I order the pizzas? Sure, Kristen said. I'll have one of those zero alcohol beers, please, Andy said. I'm driving. No worries. Sarah went inside to pull the beers from the fridge and place the call. No need to ask the others what they wanted. The three of them did this enough that she knew it by heart. Two family pizzas, one veggie supreme, one capricciosa with extra olives, hold the anchovies. She returned to the others. 20 minutes for delivery. Kristen accepted her beer. Thanks. I was just telling Andy that I caught next door's cat pissing in my tomato plants again. Do you think the tomatoes will be okay to eat? Maybe, Sarah shrugged. You put cow poo on gardens. Is cat pee any different? I can build you a wire enclosure for the plants to keep the cat out, Andy said. Won't take me long. That would be great. It's either that or something drastic. I got it a good squirt with a hose the other day. It yowled and ran off. Please, neither of you make any wet pussy jokes. Wouldn't dream of it, Sarah said. Kristen pulled up her knees to sit more comfortably. You really do have the best place here, Sarah. I wish I had a house and a yard, rather than a flat and two cat-piss-drenched tomato plants on a tiny patio. I love it, Sarah sipped her beer. Maybe it makes me old and boring, but I love pottering in the garden. Veggies, flowers, my stone mandala. It's my happy place. I love it too. Andy's intense, dark eyes pinned Sarah over her beer bottle. You did a great job of turning it into a beautiful space. Tell that to Noah, Sarah sighed. She wants a swing in the corner, a sandpit, and a track to race a bicycle around. Not very compatible with a peaceful place. I thought Kat was going to put up a swing, Kristen said. Her dark hair swung forward, partially obscuring her light brown face. Sarah's lips twitched.
Her ex-wife had never approved of Kristen, thinking her shallow and irresponsible, and Kristen had picked up on that. "She will," Sarah said mildly. "But she won't be back in Australia for almost a year. I thought I'd get Noah something from Kmart. She'll outgrow it soon enough, so there's no point spending much." Kristen's lips pursed, as if she were about to say something else. Was that the doorbell? Andy cocked her head. Pizza must be early. Sarah jumped to her feet, relief coursing through her at the interruption. She never liked having to defend Kate when Kristen got snippy. "I'll get the plates," she said to Andy. "Would you mind answering the door? The money's on the hall table." "Sure." Andy unwound her long limbs and stood, then with the easy grace of a big cat, ambled into the house and down the hall. Sarah followed as far as the kitchen, where she pulled out plates, napkins, and hot sauce from the cupboard. Voices at the front door made her cock her head. Andy's voice and a woman's. Sarah frowned. The voice sounded familiar. Irritation seeped into her belly. She dragged a deep breath and walked into the hall. "If you're not going to give me your names, I can't tell Sarah you're here." Andy stood with one arm across the doorframe. Her lanky body seemed to have gained extra centimetres, and her voice bristled with annoyance. "So, I'm going to close the door in your faces and let her know there are two people here who won't give their names but are demanding to speak with her. Is that the correct message?" "I could ask what you're doing in her house." The woman's voice held the cut glass edge of arrogance Sarah knew well. She went up to Andy and touched her arm so that she lowered it. "Good evening, Rosalind and Lionel. I wasn't expecting you." To Andy, she said, "It's okay. They're Kate's parents." Andy's brow furrowed. "I would have been politer if you'd introduced yourselves. I apologise." She turned to go back to the living area. Sarah pasted a smile over the familiar irritation at their presumptuousness in arriving unannounced. The hairs on the back of her neck prickled. Rosalind's slightly hooded eyes stared at her from her thin face. Her mouth curled in its usual downturn of disapproval, but this time there was more. Rosalind's gaze was assessing. Behind her, Lionel shuffled his feet, looking as if he'd rather be home in their Hawthorne mansion with a large gin and tonic. Sarah's lips twitched before she schooled her expression to one of neutrality. That was doubtless what Lionel was thinking. And Rosalind? She was normally cordial, but now there was an edginess about her, as if she no longer had need for politeness. On impulse, Sarah reached for Andy's hand. "Please stay," she whispered. Andy's fingers twitched as if she was going to jerk free, and Sarah tightened her grip. The look of foreboding in Rosalind's expression set her nerves jangling. Andy stepped closer and remained silent. "It's nice to see you both," Sarah lied, "but it's not a good time. Maybe we can arrange something tomorrow."
"That's fine," Rosalind said. "We won't keep you. We've just come to see Noah."
Sarah frowned. "I don't remember you arranging a visit. She's not here. She's at a sleepover."
"Well, if you give us the address, we'll visit her there," Rosalind said.
Next to her, Andy's body was rigid. Sarah glanced at her. A muscle twitched in Andy's jaw. "No," Sarah said. "Noah's with her friends. She's been looking forward to this for days. As I've said before, you need to arrange ahead if you want to spend time with her." Rosalind's smile was cooler than a row of supermarket freezers.
"We're her grandparents. We shouldn't need to make an appointment as if we're going to the dentist."
"It makes it easier. That way you don't have a wasted trip. Like now."
"Kate never minded us dropping around."
"That changed when Kate and I split. I asked that you call ahead, and it's great when you do." Sarah clenched her jaw. Rosalind knew that, so why was she trying to change things? She'd always stuck to the arrangement, until now. "I'm sorry you've had a wasted journey."
"We're trying to help, Sarah dear."
For a moment, Rosalind's eyes softened.
"It's difficult for you by yourself, caring for Noah. When Kate left you, we mutually agreed to an amicable split. You agreed to share custody. with Kate now overseas. It's just you. It must be hard. You work part-time for a low wage, and you have no one to help you. Your parents are still living in Italy, are they not? We're offering that help. Noah's our blood granddaughter. You're only her adopted parent.
Thank you for the thought, but Noah and I don't need help. Sarah's mouth could hardly form the words. What did Rosalind mean? Only Noah's adopted parent. Rosalind knew Sarah was also listed on Noah's birth certificate. Kate is paying child support, as she always has, more than she has to. Noah has everything she needs.
But not everything she wants. My granddaughter should want for nothing.
She's not a spoiled child. She's being raised, as Kate and I agreed, to understand the value of money, to work for what she wants. She has everything she needs, and she has a mother's love, mine.
You're doing your best, I know, but with Kate away, we think it best that we step in more to help you out. Spend more time with Noah.
Something is wrong. Alarm bells clanged in her mind. The carefully enunciated words contained an implied threat. She was sure of it. Rosalind had never been this pushy. Indeed, her grandparent style had always been more hands-off. An unpredictable small child didn't fit into her meticulously curated life. Sarah's hand shook in Andy's grasp. A wave of nausea made her think she might throw up on Rosalind's polished leather shoes. Their voices had brought Kristen down the hall, and she stood with her hands on Sarah's shoulders. The touch gave her confidence to respond. You're welcome to do that, of course. Maybe you'd like to come around tomorrow afternoon and stay for tea?
A child needs two parents.
Rosalind's voice dropped to a soothing tone, and her gaze flicked to Kristen. She has two parents, me and Kate.
It would be different if you had a partner, Sarah. But with your little job, how can you alone possibly give Noah the attention she needs? We're just trying to help.
She's at school.
And who collects her from school? She's too young to be by herself. Be reasonable. We can have Noah stay over with us, maybe in the week, while you're at work.
Thank you, but Noah's school and friends are here.
Oh, we can accommodate that.
Rosalind waved a hand.
After all, I don't have to work.
Fear dripped down her spine and her flesh crawled. Rosalind wanted Noah. For reasons she didn't understand, Rosalind was trying to gain control of her grandchild. Her neck stiffened as if made of steel, and she dragged in a breath. She would not let that happen, whatever it took. She took a deep breath and then another, forcing the panicked thought from her head. She was being silly. Rosalind and Lionel had always seemed happy with their fortnightly visits with Noah. They took her to the park or to an activity and usually brought her home before the time they said. Indeed, they had never asked for more time with her and sometimes skipped a visit. Why would they suddenly want the disruption of a small child in their lives? You're welcome to have Noah visit more, of course, she said. But school days are busy times. Why don't we talk about it tomorrow? Rosalind's mouth moved into a brief smile, even though the rest of her face didn't change.
We're trying to help more while Kate's away.
One bony shoulder lifted in a shrug.
Lionel and I worry about you. If you had a partner to share the load with you, that might be different.
Andy cleared her throat loudly. Sarah has a partner. She lifted their linked hands. Me. Sarah bit back a gasp. It lodged in her throat along with her heart, beating hard. What on earth had made Andy say that? Any second now, she would laugh, disentangle their hands, and say she was joking. The beginnings of a tension headache twinged at the base of her skull.
You?
Rosalind lifted her chin and stared at Andy down her nose. Me. Andy brought their linked hands to her lips and kissed the back of Sarah's hand. The touch of her lips was warm. As Sarah's partner, I collect Noah from school and look after her until Sarah's home.
Andy's voice, gravelly and strong, washed over Sarah's ears. She squeezed her hand tightly. Behind them, Kristen gave a soft gasp and her fingers bit into Sarah's shoulder. There suddenly wasn't enough air in Sarah's lungs. What the hell had Andy done? Sarah's breath hitched in her throat. She forced her face into what she hoped was a relaxed smile and wrapped an arm around Andy's waist, hooking her fingers into her belt as if she did this every day. So, Rosalind, you see there's nothing to worry about. I have Andy's support and Noah is cared for by two people who love her. The headache ratcheted up to a dull pounding. Oh, God, what will happen now? Chapter 2 Howdy, Partner. Partner? If Rosalind's brow was in any way mobile, it would have lowered in a stormy frown. The woman must be welded together with Botox. Yes, partner. Andy wrapped her arm around Sarah's waist, so they stood united and pressed a kiss to her forehead where the white streak fell in her otherwise brown hair. Sarah's hand shook where it rested against her hip. No wonder. Rosalind would terrify anyone. Andy pressed her lips together. Except for her. It would take more than this haughty woman to bring her down. Maybe now you'd like to introduce yourselves. Rosalind and Lionel Bancroft, of the Oxford Bancrofts? Did she really think that was impressive? That a person's ancestry was more worthy than who they were now? Still, two could play at that game. Andy Barons, of the Pokes Hill Barons. Again, that attempt at a wrinkled forehead. Let Rosalind try to work out that ancestry. Andy switched her gaze to Lionel. Pleased to meet you, Lionel. Do you talk?
He does, Rosalind snapped. Sarah, you should have informed us you had a partner.
I don't see why, Sarah said. Rosalind, I don't mean to be rude, but you're interrupting our evening. Why don't we talk tomorrow?
Rosalind took a step backward. You'll be hearing from us.
Of course. Andy wrapped an arm around Sarah's shoulders and pulled her close again. She fit neatly under her arm, body warm against Andy's side, the stiffness in her shoulders betraying her tension. I'm sure you'll let us know in advance when you want to spend time with Noah. Rosalind turned and marched down the steps from the front door. At the foot, she turned around.
Come along, Lionel.
With a faint shrug, Lionel turned to accompany her. They reached the gate and barged past the delivery driver, nearly knocking the pizzas from his hands. He came up the path and handed the boxes to Andy. Someone was in a hurry. He jerked his head to where Rosalind and Lionel were driving off in their Mercedes.
Yeah, sorry they were so rude. Kristen picked up the money from the hall table. Thanks.
She took the pizza from Andy. I'll get this sorted. She headed back to the kitchen. Sarah stared at the closed front door. I can't believe what just happened. She faced Andy. And I can't believe you said that. No worries. It wasn't much, but hopefully they'll back off. Sarah pressed her palms to the sides of her neck, fingers massaging the base of her skull. I thought, it seemed like they want to take Noah, spend more time with her, at their place. But I don't know why. They've only ever had her for one overnight in the past, when she was 3. She was supposed to stay for 3 nights, but she cried so much the first night, Rosalind brought her back. Kate and I had to cancel our weekend away. Since then, they've only had short visits. She pressed a shaking fist to her mouth. Why do they suddenly want to be involved now? She stared up at Andy, her light brown eyes wide and damp. They'll take her. Tears spilled down her cheeks. A wave of tenderness rose in Andy's throat, and she itched to pull Sarah into her arms. It wasn't right she had to deal with Kate's parents by herself. Sarah was a great parent. Noah was proof of that. You don't know that. Maybe they're just trying to help more while Kate's away. Except that didn't ring true. The warning signs were marching up and down her spine, prickly like ants,
But right now, Sarah needed reassurance. Maybe we scared them off. Sarah huffed a laugh. You don't know, Rosalind. What she wants, she gets. Sarah reached out and touched Andy's forearm, where the intricate black and grey tattoo sleeve wound down to her wrist. Thank you for your support. It shouldn't make a difference, really. I don't think being a single parent goes against you anymore, but Rosalind obviously believes it does. It was nothing. Andy rested her hand over Sarah's for a moment. Happy to help. Not everyone would have done that. Sarah swallowed. Thank you. I really mean it. Pizza! Kristen yelled from the kitchen. With a final glance at Andy, Sarah led the way to the rear of the house. Andy followed. What exactly had she done? When she'd answered the door, and Rosalind had stared at her as if she were worms and demanded to see Sarah, her hackles had risen faster than a pit bull's. Rosalind's gaze had swept over Andy's buzz cut, loose singlet and tattoo sleeve, down to her worn cotton shorts and bare feet, then back to her face. Judgmental much? Rosalind's attitude brought back all sorts of memories, and none of them were good. Pretending to be Sarah's partner was no skin off her nose. Sarah obviously loved her kid, and that was reason enough to have jumped in. It had been a small and satisfying thing to do. Hopefully, that would be the end of it. Andy drove steadily down the Maroondah Highway toward Box Hill, Kristen in the passenger seat. It was only 10, but after Rosalind and Lionel's unexpected appearance, Sarah had been distracted. Andy had been only too glad when Kristen suggested they head home.
That was a good thing you did for Sarah.
Kristen propped her arm on the open window and regarded her. Pretending to be her partner, Andy concentrated on the road. It wasn't much. If it got that stuck-up bitch off her back, then it was worth it.
Don't bet the farm on that.
Andy shot her a glance. What do you mean? Kristen's dark eyes held a somber intensity. I'm not Kate's biggest fan. When she and Sarah got together, I didn't think it would last. Kate seemed out of Sarah's league, I guess. What do you mean? Sarah's very attractive, in a cute sort of way. Femmy, sort of. But she didn't know if Kristen would get that.
Oh, please! Sarah's gorgeous. I didn't mean her looks.
She shot Andy a glance from under lowered brows.
I mean, Kate's a high flyer?
She rose through the medical ranks quickly, filled in as the head of the emergency department at the hospital where she worked, and then they offered her the permanent position. She's career-driven and high-achieving, and Sarah's not. She's happy with her life, caring for Noah, working part-time in an ordinary job, living in that old house she bought when she and Kate split. She's content with what she has. I think Kate will always be restless. And while Kate's the one who birthed Noah, Sarah was her primary carer right from the start. I wonder why Kate was the one to get pregnant. Kristen sucked in her lower lip. Kate collects experiences like other people collect Star Wars figurines. I think giving birth was one of those experiences. Sarah said even while Kate was in labour, she was analysing it as if she was making a documentary. Then she was happy to go back to work early, and Sarah was the one who took parental leave. Did Kate have much to do with Noah early on?
She loves her, there's no doubt about that, and she loved Sarah too. They were a great family, very tightly bonded for a while,
until they weren't, Sarah shrugged,
but they remained friends.
Would Kate have sent her parents around?
I doubt it.
For all that Kate's not my favourite person, I don't think she'd do that to Sarah. Kate's never been close to her parents. Maybe that's part of the problem. She's an only child, and with her overseas, Rosalind's trying to grab onto Noah. But we can speculate all we want, can't we?
Andy pondered. Sarah was Kristen's best friend. There was doubtless more she wasn't saying. She slowed for the speed limit, then turned into the square brown brick apartment block where Kristen lived. Her ground floor flat was in darkness.
Doesn't look like Tariqa's home.
Night shift. He's a perfect housemate that way, apart from the hip-hop.
She leaned across to peck Andy on the cheek. Thanks for driving. It's my turn the next time. No worries. Flash the light.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?